Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits. Hey everyone, I'm Grace Hayden, and today on Game On, we're talking one of the biggest young talents shaping the future of cricket in the United States. Born in India, he's sharpened his skills in North Carolina, becoming vice captain of the under-19s USA squad, and is now making waves as one of the most exciting all-rounders in American cricket. From scoring centuries at just age 11 to leading the next generation on the global stage, please welcome Utkarsh Srivastava. Game on. Utkarsh, welcome to Game On with Grace. I'm so happy to have you on here, mate. Where are you joining from right now?
I'm just at home in North Carolina.
Nice. Now, we like to start the episode with some Game On icebreakers, just some fun banter back and forth. We know that athletes, they're super competitive, so they're kind of around competitive genre. Alrighty, let's get into it, shall we? So what's something that's completely non-cricket that you've been way too competitive about?
I'm a pretty competitive person, and I just got into racket sports, especially pickleball. So I think that's something when I go with my friends, I always want to win.
Absolutely. Have you ever gone way too far in terms of trying to beat someone? And it could be something completely rogue as well. Not just sport. It could be, I don't know, board games or something else.
Yeah, definitely one of those pickleball games. I really want to win. So one of those racket sports, I'm really keen on winning them.
Win at all costs kind of guy.
Yeah.
What lengths do you go to win?
I don't know if you know the sink in pickleball. Sometimes I would just step over it and no one calls it. So that's one way. And if it's out, sometimes I won't call it out. Something like that.
Oh, you're that guy. Okay.
Sometimes.
Well, now your friends, when they're listening to this, they'll be like, okay, we've caught on to you. They'll be a little bit more switched on next time they play against you.
Yeah.
You've just exposed yourself. What's one moment in your cricket career that best sums up your competitive drive?
In 2023, we played the America's qualifiers for under-19, and it was actually our first game against Canada. We lost that game. They chased it in the last ball of the game, but I think that was one game where I think not just me, but the entire team, we put everything on the line and we did our best, but unfortunately we couldn't get it over the line.
That's okay, as long as you do your best. Now, growing up, were you the kid that threw a tantrum when you had a loss, or were you just secretly conspiring on how you were going to mess them up the next time?
I would say it's probably both. Sometimes I would rage quit, and then sometimes I would be calm and plot my comeback, I guess. Yeah.
Love it. Were you the most competitive one in your family growing up, or was there someone else that takes the cake in that department?
Now it's definitely me, but growing up, I think I got this trait from my mom. My mom was always wanted to be number one, the best at everything, so kind of got it from her, yeah.
Love it. Mums and their competitive drive, so good.
Yeah.
Have you ever been caught cheating, playing something like a board game or any little cheating tactics?
Yeah, for sure. I play cards with my mom like almost every other day, and sometimes I just take a quick peek at her cards. So yeah, sometimes she catches me.
Mate, you're exposing yourself here. They're gonna listen
she knows.
And go, what? Okay, well that's good that she knows.
She knows. She doesn't care.
What's one person that you absolutely hate losing to? Friend, family member, teammates? What's the dynamic that you hate losing in?
Growing up, me and my brother, we played a lot of FIFA on Xbox, and he was better than me. He was better than me for the most part towards the end, and I hated losing to him. But then slowly I became equal to him, and now I started beating him. So it's good.
It's now time for a quick break. Stick around, and we'll be right back with Human Behind the Hype. Alrighty, let's get into the bulk of the podcast. This section is called Human Behind the Hype. So we get to know you a little bit better, away from the stats, away from cricket itself, and you as the person. So my first question is, you know, your love for cricket started at a really young age. You moved from India at a very young age as well. You were based in Pune, and then moved to the United States, where you still are now. But how did that love for cricket, you know, keep growing, and you kept sort of entering into that space when you then moved to the US? Was it a difficult time trying to find a club that you could be associated with, or was it easy and you just continued the love and kept going with it?
Yeah, well, the first part of the question, I think the love started because of my family. My dad and brother were very into the sport, especially my brother. So he used to watch literally every game that's going on TV and play a lot. And then kind of being the younger brother, kind of just following the normal younger brother path, I kind of got into cricket the same way. And once we moved into the US, I think we were lucky enough to be in a place where there was a local academy. There weren't many places in the US that did have local academies at the time, but we were very lucky in that sense. And me and my brother both joined within a year. And it was very fortunate. We were very fortunate in the sense that we were able to get a team and practice and play. And as I grew up, there was also an increase in more youth tournaments, so which was very helpful for me and not getting away from cricket, but more towards the cricket side.
Absolutely. Moving from India to the US, what was the most challenging part about it?
I would definitely say the language part and just kind of understanding the new culture here. It was a little bit difficult when I first moved, but slowly I caught on to it. But it just took me some time to get used to the culture and language and how people went about their day here rather than US, India.
And what do you love about the US now that you've been based there for such a long time?
Now I love it now. I mean, I love the culture. I love going out with friends. I love playing sports. I love the school system here. It's great. I wouldn't want to change where I am for sure.
Do you like any of the US sports? Like, did you ever try a hand at any of the US sports?
Yeah, yeah.
Did they try and tempt you into baseball?
I did play a little bit of baseball, but not really. I think I played a lot of soccer and basketball and football in elementary and middle school, but it was all just fun. I mean, nothing serious.
Yeah, absolutely. Having a brother so, you know, deeply involved in cricket at a young age as well, playing with him and going to training with him, do you think, you know, that really helped keep your passion alive, and do you sort of credit him to like where you are now in your career?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we during the COVID year, my dad built a concrete pitch in the backyard. So me and my brother used to play like test matches, I guess. He would have 3 wickets, I would have 3 wickets, and we used to just play almost every day. And he used to win for the most of the time, but slowly as I got better, I kind of caught on to him. And so I think those sort of test matches really kept my drive. We used to have like press conferences, and we had a lot of fun going out.
Okay, be honest with me. How many fights did you boys have in your test matches in the backyard? Was there any times that mum and dad had to come in and step in as umpire and go, boys,
no,
break it up?
No, not really. Just the LBWs that were an issue. But other than the LBWs, everything was fine.
Did you get to a point where you set up a camera for LBW, or you weren't that high tech?
I think we recorded it once, but it just took so much effort. I don't think we ever did it after that.
What's your favorite story of back then when you used to play in the backyard? Have you got a special memory?
Yeah, I think one time I was bowling. I was England, he was Australia, and I got 3 wickets in one over, and I got him all out for 2 runs, and that was pretty fun.
What? He was misrepresenting the Aussies.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah,
it's
and
not
I,
like
and
the
I won
Ashes
that test
right
match.
Now.
Yeah,
so
for
good.
Sure. That is so completely good. Different.
Yeah, exactly. Completely different. How do you unwind from big days out on the field. I mean, everyone knows that it can be like a quite a difficult thing when you've, you know, been exerting yourself. Are there things that you do, not just after you finish a game, but then maybe when you're on tour as well, to take time for yourself and, you know, reset the batteries, whether you've had a good day, a bad day? Is there anything outside of cricket that you do to reset?
Yeah, I mean, I like watching movies in my free time. I go on Netflix and watch a lot of movies, either with my roommate or friends, especially on tour. If I'm not on tour, if I'm at home, then I love playing pickleball, like I said earlier, racquetball sports. It kind of takes my attention out of cricket. I don't like to think about it 24/7. So those two things are probably the main two things that I do in my free time.
What's your favorite thing about being on tour? I mean, cricket gets to, you know, take us all around the world to so many amazing places.
Yeah.
But what do you love the most?
I like traveling a lot, especially when we go on tours. I would do a little bit of research and maybe travel somewhere with my team. Or if my dad is there, I'll go with him. Or if my family's there. And we like to, when we went to South Africa, we went to safari. When we went to Namibia, we went to a safari. Netherlands, we went biking. So a lot of fun trips we had on tours.
I'm sure. Do your family travel to come see you play a lot?
Yeah, for sure. They definitely come. My dad comes almost everywhere. My family sometimes, if it's a big event, they'll come. But my dad would literally come almost everywhere.
Oh, that's so nice that you have that relationship. Does it help when you have someone familiar that when maybe you might have had an off day, you can turn to your dad and go, wow, and just have the comfort of familiarity?
Yeah, of course. I talk to my dad a lot about the game and then we can kind of unwind. But yeah, it's good having someone in your family there, especially when you're away from home for a long time. It's a good relaxing thing to do.
All right, it's time for a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back in just a sec for our sports roundtable. Welcome back. It's time for the sports roundtable, where we dig deeper into the world of sports. Let's move into the more nitty gritty about you and your cricket. You know, you played in under 15s, under 17s, under 19s for the US. What do you think really helped you stand out so quickly? I mean, you made it into the men's side really early on. You were 17, 18, and you know, what do you think really made you stand out so early?
I would say I was very passionate about the game. I actually, more than batting and bowling, even now I enjoy fielding a lot. So I was very, very much into the just winning. And on top of that, was like I was very competitive. So I really wanted to win every game I played. And yeah, I was very passionate about it. And then on top of that, I think I had a great support system along with my family. My coach, Alvin Kalichuran, he was a West Indies player, a West Indies legend. And Sanjay Stanley, he's also my coach and my mentor. So I think I had a great support system along with my drive for the game, I guess.
Was there a big shift in intensity when you went from playing in the under 19 side to playing with the senior boys?
Yeah, it's definitely a different game, men's and under 19. But when I played the under 19 World Cup, I kind of had a sense of what it would be like at the next level. And then when I traveled with the men's team to Netherlands and Namibia, I kind of saw the intensity and like the difference in level there is between the under-19s and then the senior side. So it was a good eye-opener and a good learning experience for me to go on those tours.
You made your debut at just 16 for the under-19s tournament. You made a 50, took some really key wickets as well. But what do you remember about that first day on the big stage?
It was actually in qualifiers. We played Bermuda and Canada, and I was actually very nervous. But as I played more games, I think I got more comfortable. But during that game, I was very nervous, obviously, and it took some time for me to get used to the level. But because, again, like I was very passionate, I was able to get on. We were able to get on top of the game, and we won the game. But it was obviously very nervous. I was very nervous to start the game.
Are you a nervous kind of guy in general when you are about to go out to bat or when you're about to play? Or have you sort of adjusted now and got used to it?
anything new, if I'm doing anything new, I'll be nervous. But the more I started playing, the less nervous I'm getting nowadays. So now I won't get as nervous as I used to before because I'm more used to it. But anything new that I do, even if it's non-cricket, I'll be very nervous.
Absolutely. You were the youngest men's player to score a 50 in international cricket. How did that milestone feel? Did you know that stat before it happened, or was it more after the game that you came to know?
It was after the game. It was actually a very great moment. I actually hadn't played a game. I was on the bench for like 12 to 14 days, 14 games. So I was very eager to play. And I was very thankful. Yeah, I was very thankful to coach and captain for giving me opportunity. Coach Vincent, he's also our under-19 coach now. So I was very thankful to them. And obviously, it was a great feeling. When I actually raised my bat for the 50, I also got goosebumps. So it was very nice.
Were your family in the crowd watching?
No, my parents were actually home. My dad came for the first leg, but he left before that game. So he couldn't watch it. But they were watching at home.
No way. Yeah. Oh, you would have got a really happy phone call, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. They're very happy.
Is it hard, though, when you don't have a family member there, or, you know, the familiar face to turn to right in the moment to share a big achievement for something like that?
Sometimes, yes and no. But again, like after the game, they would be my first call. So I'm sure. And my family, they watch every game, even when I'm at a different time zone, they would wake up at that time or not sleep and watch the game. So they're very supportive. So I think no matter where I am, they'll be watching me. So I'm very relaxed and comfortable.
I'm sure. That's so special that you have that relationship with them. Now, I want to know about that 67 off 63 that you scored against Scotland, the ODI in 2024. What was that knock like for you?
Well, I went into a situation where it was very hard for us to win because both me and Sanjay, we were new players and we needed, like 8-9 and over. So we didn't really have any expectations. We were just going out and playing, and they just told us to play freely, and that's what we were doing. And I wasn't really looking at the scoreboard. It just kept on going. And I wasn't really nervous either. So I don't know. It was like I was kind of in a flow state and it just kept going. I was very happy that it happened.
For sure. Now, you're an all-round player. You're a right-handed bat. You bowl off break. But do you see yourself as a batter who bowls or a true outright all-rounder?
I would like to say that I'm a true all-rounder. I bowl and bat both. I don't know. People could say otherwise, but I think of myself as a true all-rounder. I want to be a true all-rounder at least.
Do you enjoy one a little bit more than the other, or is it just straight love for both?
Nah, straight love for both. I actually like fielding more than both of them, but batting and bowling, it's equal.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anyone that was an idol growing up?
Yes. I actually have a poster of Kane Williamson. I used to love watching him bat. Kane Williamson was kind of someone I used to watch every game that he used to bat, especially in test matches. He used to just be very classy, and I used to love watching him bat, yeah.
Obviously, the MLC has really become quite a big thing in US cricket now, and it keeps growing and expanding year in, year out. What do you think a tournament like this means to USA cricket?
All right, yeah. So Major League, I think it's a very important goal for us youths to have, especially growing up in this US pathway, and the players that you see on TV. All the big players that you see in World Cups, and they all come here and play, and you kind of have this opportunity to go play with them one day, and it's very, very fun thing to do if you get that opportunity.
Do you have a cricket dream? Like, if you were to map out maybe 2-3 dreams that you'd love to achieve by the end of your career, what would they be?
That's a good question. I would love to win a lot of matches for the men's team, the USA men's team, especially against proper test playing nations. And I also want to be playing in Major League for actually starting next year. That's my goal. And hopefully for the next 5, 10, 15 years, those are my two main goals at the moment.
Have you got a side that you want to play in for MLC? If you were to pick any of the bunch, what would be your pick?
Definitely Washington Freedom. Yeah, definitely okay. Washington Freedom.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, they just seem, I mean, Ricky Ponting is the coach, and then you see Travis Head, Glenn Maxwell, and you, Steve Smith, you just, you can learn so much from them. Obviously, there's so many players from every team, but that team is just, I don't know, like, just caught my attention, and I would love to play for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Huge names. If Huge you names, yeah. did meet them and you did get to, you know, be in that side, would you be like a sponge and like a pen to paper of taking notes and trying to soak up as much information as you could, or would you get a little bit nervous and a bit shy and then sort of approach for the advice?
Yeah, I would definitely not speak up much. I would definitely be the quiet person in that bunch. That's what I usually am. Even on the men's side, I was obviously more towards the nervous side, but so that's how I would probably be if I saw them or met them.
Have you got a favorite athlete outside of cricket at the moment?
Well, I watch a little bit of tennis and soccer, football. I like watching Rafael Nadal when he plays. Yeah. I also support Arsenal, and I like watching Bukayo Saka play. So those two athletes.
So tell me, what's next for you? Like, what have you got coming up in the next few months? Obviously, we're filming this in December, so Christmas is coming up. But what's your next maybe 6-12 months look like?
Obviously, we have the Under-19 World Cup. We have a prep camp before that, and then we play a couple warm-up games, then the World Cup, which I'm very, very eager for, I'm sure, me and the whole team. After that, I actually took the semester off, the next semester in college, so my plan is to go abroad and play maybe county cricket in England or Australia or do some sort of training for 4 to 5 months. And, you know, that would be a very good experience and opportunity for me to grow as a cricketer, going 4 to 5 months, and I can take use of my time.
Tell me how you balance studying and being a professional cricketer at the same time. I mean, obviously you're training, you're playing games, you're traveling the world, but then you've also got a degree that you want to tick away at, which is obviously such an amazing achievement. And congratulations to you for doing both at the same time. But what are the challenges involved in you know, committing to both of those elements, which are quite demanding?
Yeah, thank you. Definitely high school, it wasn't really a pain for me. High school was pretty easy. I took very easy classes. But then this semester I started college, the fall of 2025. And It was a little bit of a challenge for me, trying to balance in cricket and studies. I had to work with a lot of my professors individually because the schools here don't offer like a school-wide absence for cricket. They don't have that system. So you kind of have to work with professors. So I had to email each of my professors. I had to drop a couple courses. So it was a little bit difficult, but I think I was able to manage. And I mean, if you're willing to do something, then you kind of figure it out. So.
Absolutely. Was it a tough decision to, you know, put it on hold for next year when you've got a lot going on? Or did you know that, you know, you really wanted to focus on the cricket stuff that you got coming up?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the Under-19 World Cup. I just wasn't sure if they would allow me the absences. And I kind of took that as an opportunity for me to take a semester. And on top of that, I can get more experience in the next 4 months after the World Cup, either prepping for, I don't know, Major League or prepping for growing myself as a cricketer. So it would be a good experience for me in that way.
Talk to me about wanting to go over and try a hand at county cricket. I mean, there's been so many legends of the game that have, you know, started their career there. They finished their career in that system. I mean, they've also got the 100 that they're building over there, which has been so successful after the last couple of years. So what is it about, you know, that English cricketing culture that you really want to be part of as well?
Yeah, a lot of my coaches and a lot of my fellow players have kind of gone overseas, played some county cricket, and they've shared their experience with me. And I think they all talk about learning to play in different conditions, different situations, learning as an athlete in various different locations. And I actually just saw an interview with Joe Root a couple of days ago, and he was talking about how he was in Adelaide and when he was 19 and how it helped him grow as a cricketer and how he was playing in different conditions. So I think sort of actually experiencing that would be obviously very helpful for me. And that's kind of something what I want to achieve from going overseas and getting into that culture of playing overseas.
What are you most looking forward to in this upcoming World Cup as well? Obviously, you've got the Under-19s World Cup. which is in South Africa, right? And then it's the World Cup, which is happening in India. But it's obviously a great opportunity that you get to play alongside some of the superstars and against of the world.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to be part of the Under-19 World Cup. Obviously, I was last time as well, and I kind of know what it's like now. Now that I've experienced it once, I know the level that we're going to play and what the sort of intensity and what the game is like at that level. So playing against these super, you're just trying to play the ball. You're not trying to play against names, but you want to go. We believe strongly in our team. We believe in our capabilities. So I think we just want to go and do our best and hopefully, again, like, make some upsets.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you make the side, is there a team that, you know, you'd be most excited to play against?
Probably Australia. Definitely Australia. I would love to score against Australia. Yeah.
Imagine if you got 100 against the Aussie team.
That would be epic.
That would be so cool. I'd be rooting for you, even though I'm an Aussie. I'd be rooting for you.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Talk to me about the discipline around being a middle order bat. You know, you're coming in sometimes at a really critical point in the game where, you know, it's really riding on you to score runs, and especially in the format that you play. Why is it that you really like to play in that position?
Yeah, growing up, I always was a number three, number four batsman, and I used to come in the middle. I never really had a hard time rotating against spin, especially when I at the start of my innings. So that's something which I caught on very fast, and it was obviously thanks to the development from my coaches and whatnot. But I think that's something which I was able to do very easily, rotate against in the middle overs. So that's how I kind of became. That's how it kind of became a prominent position for me, and I kind of kept doing that over and over and over again. So it was less pressure for me as well.
Talk to me about, you know, how you describe yourself as a batter. Like, do you really take on the ball, or like, how do you describe the way you play?
No, I would definitely not that. I'd like to take my time. I rotate against spin, and then I try to take the game as deep as I can, especially if we're chasing. Even if we're batting first, I would like to take the game as deep as I can, especially in 50 overs. Yeah, try to make big scores.
And then being a spinner as well, where did you learn that craft, or where did you really go, I think I'm not going to be a pace bowler, I really like to spin?
I think when I first started cricket, I think I tried everything: wicket-keeping, leg spin, off-spin, pace. But off-spin was kind of the easiest. And in fact, when I moved into the US, I was actually an off-spinner who could bat. And then slowly I developed my batting through a lot of training, but I used to actually be an off spinner. And yeah, I mean, slowly I started batting and I became an all rounder.
Batting, how did you really develop, you know, your skills, and why did you really want to, you know, enter into your batting era per se?
Yeah, well, my coach, Alvin Collichuron, and Sanjay Stanley, they really helped me get into the batting side. I used to do a lot of drills with my coaches. Especially when I was small, I would just hit buckets of balls over and over and over again. That was kind of how I developed my technique and foundation as a batsman. And then on top of that, the thing that really helped me was my dad. He built the pitch in my backyard, especially during that COVID time where there was absolutely no cricket at all. And so literally every day, me and my dad, or me and my brother, would go outside and hit like hundreds of balls every day. And kind of those two things kind of built the foundation to my batting, and I started scoring after that.
How would you describe your training regime now? Give us a week in your life in terms of training.
Yeah, with college, obviously it's a little bit difficult and it's not very stable, but I would, for this semester, I had my free days on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays. So those 3 days I would try to go heavy into the training part of it. And then Mondays and Wednesdays I would be more focused on gym and running and sort of a fitness type of thing. And as well as on the weekends, if there's no game, then I would also be training. But yeah.
We're going to step away for a short break, but we'll return soon. So stay there for a special new segment, Hot or Not.
We'll be right back.
All right, now we've got a new segment. It's called Hot or Not, but it's Gen Z edition. So pretty much we're putting you in the hot seat. So you just got to say if it's hot or if it's not. Let's get into it. TikTok food hacks, hot or not?
Definitely hot.
I agree. Aren't they the best? Anything TikTok serves up, I swear to God, is the best thing. Like even their gift guides at the moment for boyfriends, mothers, fathers. I'm like, God damn, I've done all of my shopping for Christmas through the TikTok gift guides. Thank you. Okay. Texting instead of calling, hot or not?
I would say hot.
Okay. Nice. Why?
I don't really have a preference, but I don't think it's a really a bad thing. So I wouldn't really mind. I don't really care. Either one works for me.
Fair enough. Doing your homework with AI, hot or not?
100% hot.
I agree. Oh, isn't AI the best?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I wish I had it back in school, honestly. That would have been the dream. I'd be so efficient.
Yeah, my brother always says that. He says, you guys are so lucky now that you guys have AI.
I second your brother. Okay, the return of 90s fashion, hot or not?
I would say hot. I like the new baggy jeans and the 90s, some of the 90s clothing. So it's pretty nice.
Oh my gosh. I cannot believe the producer's putting this in. 6'7", hot or not?
Not. No way.
Honestly, the ILT 20 media team got me. They were like, have you heard of 6'7" before? Anyway, I on camera just was way too dramatic with my 6'7" and they clipped me and it was the most embarrassing thing. I said in the moment, I was like, I'm going to watch this back and go, oh, Grace, what the heck are you doing? So embarrassing. Anyway, watching an entire movie on your phone, hot or not?
Definitely hot. I've done that so many times. But I guess then after you watch the movie, it hurts your eyes. But during that time, it's beautiful. So hot.
We've got no choice. Being traveling on the go all the time, our phone is sort of the most accessible thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Crocs, hot or not?
I don't really own Crocs, so not.
Okay. Birkenstocks?
I don't even know what that is. I'm sorry.
You don't know what Birkenstocks are?
No.
No way. Okay, I've got to send you a photo after this. Like Birkenstocks are shoes.
Oh, do you mean Birks?
Yeah, Birks.
Oh, yes, yes. I only know them by the short term. Yes, definitely hot. Hot, hot.
I agree. Are you a Boston's Birkenstocks or are you a Jesus sandal kind of guy?
I wear sandals, but I've seen a lot of my friends wear Birks, so I like them more. I just don't own them.
Yeah, fair enough. Being chronically online, hot or not?
I think I am chronically online, so I have to say hot.
So am I, don't worry. We're going to take one more quick break, but we'll be right back to wrap up the episode soon. Going to head into the final part of the episode now. So it's quick fire questions. It's called the final whistle. So pretty much I'm just going to shoot some questions at you and you just give me your honest answer.
Okay.
Great. What's something you've changed your mind about in sports recently?
I've started to watch the ball a little bit more. A lot of my coaches have been telling me that. So watching the ball, focusing a lot more on that.
That's good. I'm happy for you doing that. What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten from a coach?
Actually, a lot of my coaches, especially my dad, has also told me this. Whatever you do, just do it with your full intent and don't try to cheat whatever you do. So that's been something that's stuck by me.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's really good advice. Which teammate would you want on your trivia team?
Probably Arjun Mahesh.
Why?
He's a pretty smart guy and his memory is really good. I can ask him scorecards from 3 years ago and he'll remember everything. So He's a very smart guy.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Of course you'd want him on your trivia side.
Yeah, for sure.
That's an amazing skill. Okay, a cricketing superpower that you wish you had.
Seeing everything in slow motion, then I would have unlimited time to do whatever I wanted.
True. That's actually a really good one.
Yeah, for sure.
I like that. Harsh Thakkar, we did a podcast with him earlier, and he said he'd love to have like super ability to jump high. So he'd be out on the boundary, and anytime that it would go up into the stands, or, you know, it's just over your head when you're trying to take a catch, he would want to have like super jumping powers so that he could actually reach and catch it.
That's smart. Yeah.
Okay. What is one cricket moment you wish you could relive?
Winning the qualifiers in 2023.
All right. Dream team from any era. Who are you picking and why?
South Africa in 2015 World Cup, from like 2010 to 2015. That team was unreal. That was a crazy team. From AB de Villiers, Dale Steyn. Yeah, I can list the whole team, but yeah, it was a beautiful team.
Literally. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Payphone by Maroon 5.
Mm-hmm. What's your most used emoji?
Either the slap emoji or the crying emoji.
Hidden talent no one knows about.
I love singing, so, and I don't sing in front of people. I sing in the shower, so that's something I enjoy.
No way!
Yeah.
That's, wow, so good. I mean, singing in the shower, I swear you end up sounding so much better too. It's just something about it, like, you're in the moment, no one can hear you, and just belt it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you believe in luck?
Yes, I think so. I do.
What's the weirdest superstition you've ever seen in a cricketer?
Some people, they just, if someone is facing a ball and then you move, people will just tell you to sit down. And I think that's kind of, don't move from your position. That's kind of weird for me. I don't really believe in that.
Yeah. Are you superstitious at all?
No, I mean, I have a routine, but I wouldn't say that's superstition.
What's your routine?
I guess it is kind of a superstition. Like, I'll wear my left pad first and right pad. And then, like, the way I get ready, I'll take the same amount of knocks before a game. And, just a routine. I guess that's kind of a superstition. I don't know.
I mean, I think most cricketers you'd find would have a routine.
Yeah, that's
surely it just gets you game ready.
Yeah.
Controlling the controllables. If you could swap lives with any athlete for one day, who would it be?
Cristiano Ronaldo. I love soccer, but I want to see what it would be like playing as Cristiano Ronaldo.
What do you think his day-to-day life would be like?
I don't know, but he would definitely be very, it would be a very athletic day. I mean, that football game, and I think he's a very athletic person. So just being in his, seeing how athletic one can be and maybe experiencing that would be pretty interesting.
Alrighty, well, thank you so much for joining us on Game On with Grace. I really appreciate your time. Good luck with everything that you've got coming up. It's really, really exciting. But yeah, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you, Grace.
Well, that's all for this episode of Game On with Grace. We hope that you loved this conversation. Make sure you hit that follow and subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Share the episode with a friend, because we've got so many more amazing, legendary guests, hilarious debates, and huge stories coming your way. So stay tuned. I'm Grace Hayden. And until next time, keep competitive.